book of Matthew, chapter 10. We want to welcome, if you're here for the first time, we pray that you will enjoy yourself and come back. Matthew 10, verse 29, and then we're going to go to the book of Ruth. If I could find it. Okay. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Now let's go to the book of Ruth. That's in the Old Testament, before Samuel, after Joshua judges Ruth. That's how I memorized that. Joshua, you're not to judge Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come to hide under those wings wherein we trust. Thank you, Lord, that we have eternal life and we're going to live forever. And Lord, we so look forward to living it with you and our loved ones. Now bless the word, and may it do what you desire it to do as it goes forth. Help your servant. Lord, I am nothing without your help. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not usually one that has a pulpit joke, but I did hear one, so I thought, that'll work. Apparently, this woman had died and was wanting to get into heaven, and there was Simon Peter. Simon Peter said, I can let you in, but you have to spell a word, just any word. So she said, okay, love, L-O-V-E. He said, you may enter in. And then another lady came, and she had to spell a word, and she spelled kindness, K-I-N-D-N-E-S-S. And then he says, before you go in, he said, I need to run an errand. He said, would you do what I'm doing? And he said, the next person that comes, they just have to spell a word. She said, I can do that. And so she's standing there to do what Simon Peter did when she looks up, and sure enough, her ex-husband comes. And so he asked, can I enter in? And he said, I'm surprised I made it. And she wanted to say, I'm surprised you made it too. But he said, what do I got to do? And she says, you have to spell a word. He said, what word? She said, Czechoslovakia. Okay. If I have learned anything since I've come to the Lord in 1970, and as a child I came to Him, and then there was those dark years that I was in and out, but what I have learned quite significantly since I have come to Him is I never cease to be amazed of how much the Lord involves Himself in every area of our life. It doesn't seem to matter if it's big or little, He seems to be involved and involve Himself with it. Now, since He is God, and He is God Almighty, we might think in the natural that He would not be involved in the small, trivial things in our life. We don't expect Him to look over little bitty things. I mean, after all, He's God Almighty. But because maybe we think that way because of just dealing in life, if we were to schedule a time when you were to speak to maybe a governor or the president of the United States, and you knew that you had so much time to meet with this one high up, when you got there to talk to them about anything you wanted, you probably wouldn't talk about the latest kind of toilet paper that you bought. You wouldn't talk about something very insignificant. You would be there to talk probably about something very important in your life, because you feel He only has so much time, and because of that, I'm going to make best of the time that I have. But what I'm amazed is that the more I look into God's Word, I can't help but notice over and over and over again that God, who is worthy of all praise, who is a trillion times trillion to the infinite trillion more important than any figure of authority we have, that this amazing God that we serve, of His infinite greatness and His majesty, how, in spite of that, He does have time for the small things in our life, regardless of how insignificant or trivial we think they are. Now, to the contrary, He does show up at important times in our life. That's not to say He doesn't. We know that we have a responsibility to other people to be with them in the important times of their life. Some people left this morning to go be with Sister Little because they thought she may not be here long. And that is important, that we be there with someone. I received a call from a minister friend or an email, and I've known him for 40 some years. He pastors up north, and he shared in that email how he was very discouraged. And I thought, ooh, I need to give him a call because that's important. And I gave him a call and we talked. And we get invited at times to people's things in their life. They have important things that happen to them. And so we feel obligated, and rightfully so, to show up and to be with them for those times. Recently, few months back, I had a nephew that was going to get married, and I had determined to be there, but something of greater importance showed up unexpectedly, and it kept me from being able to get to my nephew's wedding. I grieved over it, but I don't have time to go into the details of why I couldn't, but I felt bad not being there for that important occasion, and I pray that he has found grace in his heart to understand what took place that kept me from it. But we all know we want to be for other people at special times in their life. We try to show up when they get married or if they're having a 50th anniversary. Just this past week, Sister Watson and Becky went to her sister's husband who had died. And because we show up at funerals to give honor to whom honor is due, even though it was way back in Texas, they went Because it's important that we be there in the important times in people's lives. We try to show up when someone is graduating from either high school or college, or if somebody has a baby, we want to be there. We have baby showers. I remember when I was to be water baptized as in the seventh grade, and my father showed up. Now that to me said a lot, knowing how much my father at that time of his life despised church. I got a feeling my mother had a few words to get him there, but he showed up. But we don't show up in people's lives over insignificant things, over trivial things. But have you noticed in Scripture that the Lord does? He shows up in the insignificant times in our life. In fact, more than he does the significant times. He does both. But if you count the times that you look of when the Lord showed up and visited, you will find that this insignificant outweigh the significant. He shows up at the woman just getting some water from a well. No big celebration. She's getting the water out of the well, but he must needs go through Samaria at a time in a woman's life, no doubt, that was difficult for her, but it was a day just like any other day when the Lord showed up to minister to her the great news of salvation. He shows up to the two on the road to Emmaus. Now, we might say that was a little more serious. They were sad that their Savior had died, but it was just an ordinary walk. He shows up on the morning of the disciples when they had been fishing all night. This is after the resurrection. It wasn't any special religious holiday. It wasn't anything of the Feast of the Tabernacles or anything that is now probably done away with or what Christ did. But he just simply showed up as the disciples were fishing and in the early morning hours asked them, "Have you caught any fish?" He shows up at a boy's sleepless night named Samuel. He shows up at the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden. He shows up in a man's sleep. It was just a normal day, and Solomon, the Lord, showed up in his sleep, in a dream. He showed up when Simon Peter brings Nathanael to the Lord. Philip brings Nathanael to the Lord. And as Nathanael is brought to the Lord by Philip, Jesus said, "Oh, you're a man in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said, "Well, how do you know me?" And he said, "Not only do I know you, I saw you under that fig tree where you were at just a little while ago. The Lord showed up there." Maybe he was under that fig tree praying. We don't know, but it wasn't anything really huge or special, but it just shows us, wow, the Lord just shows up at all times in our life. And now you don't think he doesn't show up in the important events. He does. In the Bible, we mostly preach about when he shows up in those important times in your life. And thank God he does. He did show up in the fiery furnace for the three Hebrew children. He did show up for Joshua before he went to battle. He does show up at the empty tomb to the woman who was weeping, and Jesus said, "Mary." And he did show up to the disciples in a crisis as they were hiding behind the walls for fear, and he was there to lift their faith and tell Thomas, "Go ahead and touch my side." But now he does show up in the significant and the insignificant. But what I'm wanting us to see is he shows up in the insignificant more than the significant, because we have more insignificant days than we do significant days. And in those areas that we perhaps might say are insignificant, I'm amazed. It teaches me how much he loves us to show up on why. Wow, you condescend to show up on an uneventful day Yes, he does, because he's a God at all times and loves us at all times. But I want to take this sermon even further. Not only does he show up at insignificant times, but the Lord seems to love the insignificant in a mighty way. He will speak to us in an insignificant way. We love it when we hear of something spectacular of how the Lord will speak, but God will speak to us in insignificant ways on insignificant days. It can be a little nudge that says you ought to witness to that person. It can be a little nudge of the Holy Spirit, or you feel a little nudge that says that, well, maybe I should apologize to that person. Now, some people I know it's going to take more than a nudge to get them to apologize, but he'll come and give a little nudge, or he may give you a little nudge that says you need to give to that person, or you need to call someone. And those are maybe not big, huge handwritings on the wall, many tickle your farson, your kingdom is taken from you, but it can be this small, still voice or just a little nudge. And may we learn not to take those insignificant little nudges insignificantly, because the Lord loves the insignificant. And oftentimes, I believe, we miss the Lord's direction in our life because we're always looking for something spectacular and something great. But not only does God have his eye on you, he has someone else that he has placed in your life that has their eye on you. And that brings us to our story in the book of Ruth. The story is that here's a young lady in Scripture by the name of Ruth. Now, Ruth has gone through some great disappointment in her life. Her husband was killed in battle, and her future didn't look very bright. In fact, she has now moved to a new city with her mother-in-law, Naomi. But instead of Ruth sitting around feeling hopeless and despondent and perhaps maybe feeling sorry for herself, that is so easy to do at such times like this. And instead of her saying, poor old me, and having a self-pity time, Ruth reached out and helped take care of Naomi. And not only that, she got up every morning and she went out to a field and gathered up the leftovers that were on this field and would bring them back to Naomi to help her. And so one day the story says that the owner of that field, whose name was Boaz, he looks out and he notices Ruth. Now, we know his name is Boaz and he's a great type of Christ, but let's not typology this so much that we forget the reality that God does it in our lives as well. He notices this beautiful lady and what a hard worker she is out in that field. And what's interesting is though Boaz is watching her, Ruth does not know that Boaz is watching her. She didn't even know who Boaz was. She just kept working. She just kept doing her best. She just kept picking up the leftovers and taking them home to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And the point to think about today is that even though you may not realize it, God places people in your life and somebody has their eye on you. A supervisor has his eye on you, noticing your excellence. A manager is noticing your character, or a friend is noticing your faithfulness. And if you are single, you may be here and think that there is nobody to meet. But you don't know who God is about to bring into your life. You don't know who has their eyes on you. Yet it is a given. We know that God has his eyes on you. But you don't know who God has placed into your life, who has also got their eyes on you and is orchestrating some great things that is going to happen into your future. Ruth didn't know it, but Boaz was watching her. A long story short, Ruth and Boaz fell in love, and they ended up getting married. Ruth no longer had to work in the field. She now owns the field. And like Ruth, you may have gone through some difficult times in your life. But let me tell you, God has another Boaz out there. God has already lined up somebody that is going to notice you, somebody to befriend you, somebody to help you, and somebody to make your life more fulfilled. Lord, would you bring somebody to my life right now to say amen? Thank you, Lord. See how quick God answers prayer? That disappointment that has happened in your life was not the end. It's often a new beginning. It may have been a setback, but God has already lined up the right people to get you back and to come back. He always has a Barnabas for an untrusted soul. He always has a ram in the thicket for his Isaac that's about to be sacrificed. He always has a Jonathan to hook up with David to help him in the difficult times of his life. He always has an Esther that he can bring forth for the saving of her nation, Israel. And may God help us to trust and to believe that God has your best in store. He has opportunities lined up for you. And he has good breaks in store for you and for your future. He has the right people lined up that is going to help you. And always remember that God places someone that has their eye on you. I remember when I was working for Buena Engineering Company, and I needed to get a hold of my boss on the CB radio because I needed to make a decision, and I didn't feel qualified to make it. I felt this job was too important, and so I was rather nervous, and I couldn't. So I went to a payphone, and I thought, I'll try to call the main office, and so I called the operator. Now, I'm nervous, and I can be a pain in the rear when I get nervous, but I'm nervous, and I get the operator on, and I said, I'm asking for a such and such, and she says, okay. And while she's trying to get it, I'm, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And she overhears me. And I hear these words from the operator, Dennis Chester Connor, just calm down. And I thought, who are you? And she says, I'm Cheryl Coleman. Well, Cheryl Coleman was a girl that was in my home church. Cheryl Coleman was a girl who had a leg that was 3 inches shorter than the other one, and an evangelist came in and God miraculously healed her. I knew who Cheryl Coleman was, but I didn't know that Cheryl Coleman was the operator. I didn't know she even worked for the Bell Telephone or whoever they were, but she recognized my voice. My point is, God, oh, and when the moment I heard her voice, first there was conviction, then there was a peace that came over me because I remembered the great miracle God did for Cheryl Coleman, and 2 and 2 is 4, and I thought, you know, the Lord can work out this problem. I don't know how he worked it out, but I had a peace. But I thought how God has people in your life that knows you and hears you, and he brings them in at the right time that can help you. And so, oh, in fact, it was just the other day my wife said to me, we had to get our phone changed over from, I don't know, Vonage to whoever. And I'm here at the office, and my wife calls up, honey! I said, what? I knew it was good news. I can tell that voice. And she says, guess what? I said, what? She says, do you know if somebody calls, it shows up on the TV? Really? Well, let me run home and call and see it show up on the TV. But I thought to myself as I was preparing this message this morning, do you know that every time you call heaven, God sees and knows who it is that's calling, and he's aware? And what is so amazing, and I say this humbly, but over the years, yes, the Lord has allowed me to be used in the gift of knowledge on many, many unusual ways of things that I've seen in people's lives. I have seen in people's lives When I go back and I begin to think of them, I have seen the spectacular probably about a fourth as I have seen the unspectacular in people's lives. And that tells me that when I see into people's lives that which the Lord shows me, it dawned on me, Lord, you are watching the insignificant, which is significant more than the significant. That kind of gets weird there. I remember a little boy as I walked out after church one night. This same boy a week before pinched me on my hind end in the foyer. Welcome to the ministry. I went out to the parking lot. He's about 7, 8 years old. When I looked, and unbeknownst to me, right there, I see him catching a frog and putting it in a jar. I said to him and his mother, Josh, you ever caught a frog and put it in a jar? And his mother says, oh my goodness, just today or before church this evening, Joshua at home caught his first frog. He put it in and he wanted to play with it. And I said, no, you're not going to play with it. You're going to church. He said, I don't want to go to church. I'm going to play with my frog. She said, you're going to go to church. That frog will be here when we get back. And we'll put it in a jar. But isn't it amazing how God in his goodness let that little boy know that he is observing everything in your life? I say that because that ought to keep you, and me it does, on my edge, never knowing when the Lord is going to speak into my life or your life, and to be and to let me know he's always there. I remember sharing with you a few years ago, a little boy came and his mother brought him and said, he don't want to come to church no more. I looked at the little boy in my office and I said, why did you come to church no more? I just don't want to. He hit that age of 13 or 14. What was his name, sister? Elwood. The Lord knows his name. I said, well, you know God's real. He said, well, I think he's real. I know. He says, you say he is, and I see the Lord use you to bring things out in people's life. But he said, if you ever have something on me, would you tell me? I said, well, I don't control that, but I will if it ever happens. But Sandy Tinker, that Saturday, she had that little boy promise her that he would go to church the next day. And she said, now I want to get the fighting overdone today so I don't have to fight you tomorrow. And he said, all right, Mama, I promise to go. Little lying brat. But that night as she put him to bed, okay, now you're going to church tomorrow. Yes, he promised to go. Well, the next morning, he didn't want to go. But here's what happened. She finally won the battle. But while I'm preaching on Sunday morning, I look back in the church and I see him and I keep seeing his thumbs go up over his head. And I'm thinking, what in the world is that all about? So after church, as people are leaving, I took the little boy aside with his mother and I said, you told me if I ever see anything in your life that the Lord has showed me to let you know. I said, I did, but I don't have a clue what it means. And his mother said, what was it? I said, while I was preaching, I looked back and I saw your son sitting next to you and I kept seeing his hands go up and the thumbs go up in the air. His mother started laughing and said, oh, ha, 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 ha. And the little boy said, you're right, Mama. Here's what happened. That little boy went to bed that night, but he snuck his Nintendo game into bed with him, and he played Nintendo all night. And he said, his mother said, when she went in there to wake him up in the morning, he says, I can't go to church. She said, why can't you go to church? He said, because, Mama, my thumbs are killing me. And he held his thumbs up and said, "See my thumbs, Mama, my thumbs are too sore. I can't go to church." She says, "You'll go." And she grabbed him out of there and she brought him to church. But here the Lord showed him and let him know that he was mindful of that. And I only say that God get the glory, that he is aware of everything in our life, and the insignificant, more than the significant, the hairs of your head are numbered. The other day I was brushing my hair, and there went about 5, and I thought, he loves me so much, he's got a fresh count. Do you know how much God loves you and how much he's involved in your life? He knows you better than you know yourself. He does. He is mindful of you. He knows what the day is going to bring forth. He knows your failures before you fail. Peter, you're going to deny me. Oh, no, I won't. Oh, yes, you will. And I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I want you to know we have such a wonderful God that is mindful of everything in our life. And I want to encourage you, if life has been rough, and you've had some disappointment, know this, God is placing some Boazes in your life that are going to help you in where you need help. Let's pray. Debbie, would you come, please? He watches the sparrows. He counts our hairs. He sees the frog in the jar. He sees the thumbs above the head. And here's what Boaz said to Naomi. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. He knows your thoughts. He knows the way that you take. He knows your fears. He knows the state of his flock. He knows your uprisings and your downsittings. He knows, and may that comfort you. But this week, while I've been in prayer, I have felt impressed. I don't know who, I don't know why the Lord works the way he does. But I feel I need to pray for somebody who has been fearing your financial situation. And I want to pray that God give you peace. If you're here, I know this is general, but it doesn't matter to me. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I have had some fears that are not normal fears. They're getting a little bit stronger and they're bothering me. I have been fearing my financial situation. Would you stand and let the Lord? I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but I want God to give you peace today. And also, I believe that maybe you're involved in that you've had some fears that you normally don't have, anxiety attacks. I just felt the Lord wanted me to pray for you. For those of you that are sitting, would you take a look at those that are standing, and would you step out where you are, and would you go pray with those that are standing, please? Let us pray one for another, and the altars are open. May we find a place to pray. But before we do, let us pray for these. And let me pray a prayer, O God, these that are standing, Lord, that have had these fears. Lord, you showed up to the disciples when they were afraid in the boat and said, "Peace, be still." Lord, may you give us a peace that we know, Lord, that you're aware of the situation. And my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches. Lord, you will minister to these people. You will help them, Lord, and you will provide for them. I pray, Lord, that in place of that fear, you let faith rise up and answer those doubts that knock on our door. May we answer that door in faith and say to those thoughts, I know I have an expected end that the Lord will bring me. He will protect me under the shadow of His wings. He will give me peace. Lord, give them peace. Perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Lord, we do pray for them. I do pray, Lord, that You give them a peace and help them to put their eyes upon You. Lord, we all go through this. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Lord, but I do pray one for another. Lord, this is an important time, and Lord, we would weep with those that weep, and we would encourage those, because there I may be one day, and I will need the comforting of the help of the Holy Spirit from the Boazes You've placed in my life. But Lord, lift them up. Give them peace. Give them a understanding that You will never leave us nor forsake us. You'll be with us always unto the end of the world. We will live forever and ever and ever. And oh God, give peace. Give peace to the troubled home, Lord. Give peace to everyone, Lord, in every area where the enemy has wanted to cause a discomfort and a trouble in the spirit, Lord. May Your Holy Spirit rise up, Lord, and permeate our spirit, Lord. May we be baptized in Your Holy Spirit afresh and anew. And give peace, Lord, to Your people. Let faith come alive and give hope, we pray, as You always do. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may find a place to pray and talk to your Savior. Amen. Praise Jesus. Praise God.